We can start the meeting, then we can continue chatting after. So welcome everyone to the in this congregation and also the our friends that have come. So we're going to be starting the meeting with song number 51, and that's entitled "To God We Are Dedicated." We'll have a prayer. Jehovah God, we humbly approach your heavenly throne. I want to thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us, that we're taking the opportunity to be here with our dear friends, brothers and sisters, to learn more from you, Jehovah. So please help us that we can absorb this information, not only in our minds, but also that it can sink into our hearts, so that we can take the necessary actions in order to align our lives better to serve you, Jehovah. We ask that you continue helping us. We know that we're living in difficult times, and we know that this is due to the world conditions and the time that we are living in. So please continue helping and strengthening us, Jehovah. Some are in the hospital, and we ask that you please continue helping them as well. We ask also for our worldwide brotherhood. We know of the war in Ukraine that is devastating to our brothers and sisters. So please continue helping them with what they ask for, Jehovah. We also ask that you please forgive the sins that we commit today, and that you always help us to that we can improve ourselves. Keep this prayer in your hands, and all this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So for this morning, we have Brother Tiberish that will be giving the public talk, and he'll be developing the theme, Reach Out for the Real Life.
This is the real life. You might hear that sentence maybe after spending a great day on the lake or spending some good times with some families and friends. Others might think of the real life as pursuing the career they want or gaining as much wealth as possible to have security. and a better future. But the Bible identifies a superior goal for our lives. Let's see what that is as we open our Bibles and read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 19. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 19 reads, safely treasuring up for themselves a fine foundation for the future, so that they may get a firm hold on the real life. So what is this fine foundation for the future? What do we mean by the real life? Well, the real life is everlasting life on earth, paradise, where we'll enjoy true peace and happiness. Yes, this beautiful hope for the future is a loving gift from our Father Jehovah, and he wants us to enjoy it. What do we need to do to get a firm hold on this life? And what kind of effort is necessary? Well, we must work at what is good and be rich in fine works. But what does that exactly mean? Well, it means that we need to read the Bible, learn from what God expects from us, but most importantly, to apply what we learn. However, the real life, it doesn't depend on our own efforts. Jehovah is lovingly giving this gift freely by his undeserved kindness. Yes, Jehovah, our Heavenly Father, truly wants us to attain this life. So why should we make the real life our goal? I invite you to see what is considered in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. Isaiah 48, 17 reads, this is what Jehovah says, your repurchaser, the Holy One of Israel. I, Jehovah, am your God, the one teaching you to benefit yourself, the one guiding you in the way you should walk. Yes, Jehovah is here for us. He is eager and ready to teach us, to guide us, to make sure it benefits us. Or when we look at the footnote for verse 17, it says, for your own good. Following Bible principle leads to a happy family life, greater peace of mind, a healthy lifestyle, and a fulfilling life. Let's consider the example of Brother Donald Williams. And by following Jehovah's standards, he was able to have a happy family life, greater peace of mind, and a healthy lifestyle. At the young age, Donald started to pray, but his goal was to get rich. At the age of 22, he was assistant vice president of a casino hotel in Las Vegas. He was considered wealthy and successful, often enjoying the best food, most expensive wine, and liquor. But did he have true happiness? Brother William says, in fact, the more money I made, the more anxiety and sleepless nights I had. It was when I read the book of James that I really began to think twice about my worldly success. In chapter 4, James wrote, Do you not know that to be lover of the world means enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be lover of the world makes himself enemy of God. A little after that, he started to attend Christian meetings, and he met a brother named Kevin who started to study the Bible with Donald. Brother Williams continues, Kevin showed me a video about the joys of missionary service, and I decided that this is what I wanted to do. In 1995, after studying the Bible intensely for 6 months, I was baptized as one of Jehovah's Witnesses. Instead of asking God for wealth, I began to pray, give me neither poverty nor riches. How true are the Bible words? It's the blessing of Jehovah that makes one rich. He adds no pain with it. So to read the full story of Brother Williams, or to find more encouraging articles of brothers and sisters doing the necessary steps to lead to baptism, you can go on jw.org and read under the article series, The Bible Changed Lives. So now that we've seen a quick example on how the Bible can help us in our day to day, let's now consider the endless benefits that are to come in the near future. Please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 65, and we'll read verses 21 to 23. Isaiah chapter 65, verses 21 to 23 reads, "They will build houses and live in them, and they will plant vineyards and eat their fruitage. They will not build for someone else to inhabit, nor will they plant for others to eat. For the days of my people will be like the days of a tree, and the work of their hands, my chosen ones, will enjoy to the full. They will not toil for nothing, nor will they bear children for distress, because they are the offspring made up of those blessed by Jehovah and their descendants with them." How nice does it sound? Building homes for us to enjoy, planting and harvesting food that we'll eat with our families. And notice what is said in verse 22. My chosen ones will enjoy to the full. Yes, we'll be able to enjoy life to the full. We'll be able to work and to enjoy our house, but not to pay someone else, but for ourselves. However, in order to benefit from these blessings, we must be cautious. And a warning can be found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. First John chapter 2, verse 17 reads, "Furthermore, the world is passing away, and so is its desire, but the one who does the will of God remains forever." Yes, the world and its desires are surrounding us. And if we don't safeguard our hearts, we could be indulged in them. That's why it's so important to continuously review our goals and to see if they're still in line with God's will. By doing so, we can be aware of a few tweaks we might to do here and there. So how can we get a firm hold of the real life? Well, to gain the real life, there's a very important step to be taken. That is to make the decision to get baptized and dedicate your life to Jehovah. What should be the motivation that we get baptized? It can be found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38. Where it reads, "He said to him, you must love Jehovah, your God, with your whole heart and with your whole soul and with your whole mind. This is the greatest and first commandment." If I were to use one word to describe this scripture, what would it be? Love. Yes, those getting baptized are motivated by love. But there are certain steps to be taken before getting baptized. We need to come to know Jehovah and that will build our faith in him. One way that we get to know Jehovah is by regularly studying the Bible, by attending Christian meetings where we gain knowledge. Strong faith will give us confidence that Jehovah will care for you. As a person grows their love for Jehovah, they might feel regret or ashamed of their past or current conduct. After to know Jehovah better, your faith will become strong. And as your relationship with him grows, you'll be able to be aware of things he likes and dislikes, and if you need to make certain changes in your life. But with faith and trust in Jehovah, you can make those changes. This process will bring you even closer to Jehovah and build your friendship. As time goes on, your love for Jehovah will move us to dedicate our lives to him and put him above anything else. As mentioned, these conducts that we might need to stop, they might not be easy to quit. But with Jehovah's help and the help of our fellow brothers and sisters, we will be able to successfully make the changes needed. Dedicating our lives to Jehovah, we all have one common goal. And this goal can be found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, 24 and 25 reads, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wants to come after me, let him disown himself and pick up his torture stake and follow and keep following me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" Yes, this scripture shows us the importance of doing God's will, not our own. So after getting baptized, we are promising Jehovah that he is the most important part of our lives and that his will is what we'll want to do. If we try to go on to save our life, what does the scripture show? It doesn't end too well. We'll lose it. But what does happen in the latter part of this scripture? Whoever loses his life to do for the sake of the will, Jehovah promises that his loyal servants will have life. So how can we show that we are loyal servants? By making the necessary changes in our lives and publicly declaring our faith and our love through water baptism. But some might feel that the real life is beyond their reach. Some might feel intimidated and ask ourselves, can I really reach for the real life? Many believe in God's promise, but struggle with some anxieties towards making the decision of getting baptized. Well, do not worry, because Jesus knew about the anxieties that some had. And this can be found in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. Where it reads, "As for the one sown among the thorns, this is one hearing the word, but the anxiety of this system of things and this deceptive power of riches choke the world, and it becomes unfruitful." So some might hold back because they're so absorbed in the world's affair, and that pursuing maybe a career or wealth, they might not have very much time for spiritual things. But how truly happy would they be if they would change their goals? Drawing closer to Jehovah would enrich their spirituality, would help with anxiety and would bring them true peace and satisfaction that results from doing the divine will. Even in Jesus' day, some allowed personal interests or family ties to hinder them from becoming Jesus' disciples. Others might hold back because they're afraid to fail, or they're reluctant to accept the responsibility it brings to get baptized. While getting baptized does bring a lot of responsibility, Jesus assures us that it is kindly and bearable one that will refresh us immensely. Feeling inadequate, of course, is normal. We can think of the example of Moses and Jeremiah, who initially, after getting assignments, didn't feel that they could fulfill them. But how did Jehovah help them? He reassured them. He told Moses, "I shall prove to be with you." And Jeremiah, he said, "I am with you to deliver you." We too can be confident that Jehovah is there for us, cares for us, and will support us. His love will help us be able to overcome any lingering doubts that we might have to dedicate our lives to him. When a hiker goes on a new trail, does he just trust his own instincts? Or will he bring a map and a compass? Probably, in case he gets lost. Likewise, if we trust in Jehovah with all our hearts, he promises to make our path straight as we walk alongside him, like our compass guiding us. God is not asking too much from us, nor is it too difficult to measure up to his requirements. You can succeed, just as others have. Now let's see the example of a brother and a sister, how they overcame their difficulties to get baptized.
Jehovah's Witnesses visited my mom when I was a little baby, and they started a Bible study with her and later with us children. My dad, however, didn't receive the truth very favorably. He was rather skeptical about it. So at some point, the truth was pushed into the background. Then when I was 20, I moved to another city to study at university. I had great friends. My relationship with my boyfriend was super harmonious. Everything was perfect. I've always been a thinker. So whenever I saw pollution, poverty, social injustice, all that made me really angry. And I had my own perfect little world, but anything could have happened at any time. Sickness, an accident, maybe even death. And I knew that only Jehovah really had the answers to my questions. I knew that the whole time.
From the time I was born, my entire family were Catholic, and I thought it was a good religion with a long history. But for some reason, its teachings failed to touch my heart. Around that time, I received a visit from Jehovah's Witnesses, and I asked them the questions that I had. After that visit, I felt Jehovah's love, and I was certain that I had found the truth. In my mind, I was convinced that I would become a Jehovah's Witness, but I had bad habits that were deeply ingrained. I had violent tendencies since I was young, and I enjoyed violent sports such as kendo. I was also under constant stress managing my growing business. As I continued to attend congregation meetings, I became certain that living life in the way that the Creator intended would be the very best life. Even so, it was hard to make the necessary changes. Smoking was a problem that plagued me until the very end.
My siblings, who themselves were making good progress, encouraged me and said, "Why don't you just go to the meetings again?" So I did from time to time, but I had the feeling that I was going around in circles. I realized something has to change. I need a Bible study. The sister who studied with me said we would start with the Keep Yourselves in God's Love book. The first question in that book is, "Do you love God?" And I admitted, "No, I don't." So we studied the What Does the Bible Really Teach book again. That sister helped me to connect the things I learned with my life. She also encouraged me to study on my own. Eventually, I did that and also went to the meetings regularly. As a result, I got to know the brothers and sisters even better and how they came to know Jehovah. Then I understood Jehovah loves every one of them, and that also includes me.
Maybe it was because of the brothers' love for Jehovah, but when I was associating with them, always made me smile. It was the brothers' encouragement that helped me believe I could become one of Jehovah's Witnesses. I came to the conclusion that I would never be able to quit smoking if I continued to work on my business. So I called my management team and I handed the business over to them. I felt as if a large burden was lifted off my shoulders. I finally thought, now I can serve Jehovah with a clean conscience. It was only after I left my business and completely cut off my bad association that I was able to quit smoking. And on December 23rd, 1990, I was baptized as one of Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, I have put all those bad habits behind me. Today, my entire family lives by Bible standards, and this gives us the greatest happiness imaginable.
So when I was 30, I got baptized. Today, it feels so good living what I really believe. I'm now happily married to a brother who loves Jehovah just as much as I do. We have two cute children. And what brings me extra joy is that all of my siblings are baptized and that now we are all united in the faith.
Thank you for the video. So let's just review a bit the two examples. And let's start with Sister Zephyrkis. She knew from a young age that Jehovah had the answers to such things as pollution, poverty, death. But the knowledge wasn't enough. After starting a Bible study, she found out that she didn't love Jehovah and she needed to study the Bible. So she started studying the Bible on her own and she had a Bible study. Then she started to attend meetings. And by getting to know the brothers and sisters more, she got to know that Jehovah loves them, which led her to know that Jehovah loves her. What about Brother Kim? Well, he had violent tendencies since youth and loved violent sports. As he grew older, he had a constant stress of his growing business. He had a smoking problem as well, until the very end. After a visit from Jehovah's Witnesses, he felt that Jehovah loves him, and he was certain that he found the truth. But that wasn't enough. He still had to make the proper steps before baptism. He started associating more with the brothers and sisters, and he realized that when he was with them, it made him smile. He was never able to quit smoking until he handed the business over. And he even said, after handing the business over, now I can serve Jehovah with a clean conscience. So by cutting off bad associations, he was able to stop bad habits and leave them behind him. In both cases, we see how Jehovah cares for us and how Jehovah loves us. Now is the time to reach out for the real life. Don't delay. Soon, this system of things will end, and the common lifestyle that we're used to will be gone. But don't worry and have faith in Jehovah. He wants to help us, as we can see and we can read Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 reads, "For God is the one who, for the sake of his good pleasure, energizes you, giving you both the desire and the power to act." How awesome is it to know that Jehovah is there for us, and he's giving us the desire and the power that we need to take the necessary steps to baptism. This morning, we had the opportunity to review three completely different examples of our brothers and sisters and how they overcame their difficulties to make the proper steps towards baptism. They were able to reach out and for the real life and to get a firm hold on it. And that brought them great peace and joy and a better lifestyle now and in the future. And with Jehovah's help, we can as well. Yes, friends, each one of us have the opportunity to reach out for the real life and to get a firm hold of it.
Thank you so much, Brother Tiberius, for the talk, especially for those of us that are already baptized, reminding us of what we promised to Jehovah, and obviously especially for those that are thinking of baptism, how it really is the best course of life you can take. So for next Sunday, I can't invite you back here because we won't be here on Sunday due to the assembly on Saturday. But Brother Lameda will be explaining the full schedule for the next 2 weeks after. So we'll invite him now.
But I won't explain it now. You'll have to wait until the end of the meeting. So we have song 22 to continue into the Watchtower study. It's entitled, "The Kingdom is in Place, Let It Come," based on Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, and also chapter 12, verse 10. So I'd like to invite those who can to sing together song 22.
Thank you.